Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be talking about Ted Lasso Season 2, Episode 1, which is called Goodbye, Earl.
Right. Which is an interesting title for this episode, but okay.
Oh, yeah. It took me a second.
Yeah, exactly. So it is not Earl Grey to you, by the way, in case you're wondering. So we are super excited. I mean, I say super excited. We are excited to be doing Season 2 of Ted Lasso because it gets into the, like, more deep issues. It's not just the fluffy, happy... I mean, there's fluffy and happy things in it, but it does that with a comedic... It gets into deeper issues with kind of a comedic approach. And so we're kind of excited to be getting into some deeper issues as well, and we hope to be as comedic about it as they are. But we do have our usual caveats and disclaimers, and those are...
We will be cursing and we will be spoiling Ted Lasso.
Yeah, for sure. And also, I'm at least having a beverage, and it will make sense at the end of this. I'm drinking rosé. It's with bubbles, but I'm drinking rosé. It's the Underwood Oregon grown rosé bubbles in a can, which, you know, you gotta love the fact that it comes in a can. So that's like an all-American combination, and, you know, I'm raising a glass to my favorite guy, Roy.
Okay. And I had lunch earlier and I'm having Dr. Pepper, but there is a doctor in this episode, so it's justified.
There we go. It's all connected in some way. So let's get right into it. Goodbye, Earl, the episode. So this episode starts with a close-up, like super close-up, tight shot of Nate's face. It's a little confusing.
It is very confusing.
And they eventually, you see that Nate's concerned, and they start, you know, like zooming out, and there's a lot of, you know, you see the confusion on everyone's face. But there's a lot of discussion also on the loudspeaker because they are apparently in a match that they're in yet another draw, or they're about to be in yet another draw with another team. And they're on this lower tier of the Premier League football.
And they basically, apparently they've had like 7 consecutive ties. Like,
yeah.
That's a lot. Like,
yeah, it's a lot. They've got ties with like these weird team names, like Nottingham Forest something.
It just sounds like a Robin Hood like story. It's just so funny.
It does. It's like,
but, basically they're tied, and Danny is about to take the penalty kick to win the game.
Right. And everyone's crossing their fingers and making a wish. And what happens?
Basically, I'm sorry if there are like noises in the background, but
I can't hear them, so go ahead.
Okay, well, sure. 1 second.
Okay, so I am going to just pause for just a second. Okay. So,
all right, sorry about that.
That's okay. And we may have to, like, you know, redo this or edit or whatever, and that's gonna be fine. But so what happens, they introduce out of the blue that there's a mascot for the team.
And the mascot, greyhound.
A greyhound, and his name is
Earl.
And Earl,
let's just cut to the chase. Basically, Danny is about to take this penalty kick. He's about to win the game. And then Earl gets distracted by a pigeon that is flying onto the pitch. Earl runs for it, jumps, and is hit by Danny's penalty kick and dies.
Yeah. And it's basically like, no, he's one of those like slow out, no kind of things.
Yeah.
And Danny
is going crazy. It's insane. Danny is ashamed. He's in the shower, fully clothed, praying in Spanish. He's just really devastated by all the events that have been happening. And yeah. They're just really concerned about the implications of this. But right. basically, Roy has retired and Sam has been stepping up for the team and being more of a leader and that kind of stuff. And there's a press conference where Trent, again, he says Trent Krim, and now the entire room goes, the independent.
The independent.
Which is funny. And when Ted is asked about the dog, Ted tells a story about being scared of dogs because one attacked him. But after that dog was abandoned, he looked after it and now it's been put down. It was a very long story, and then everyone's just kind of sad because it was put down, and they've forgotten all about all the other stuff because well, he right, told the so story.
The punchline or the focus of it is things that make you cry. There are things that make you cry because you know they existed can also make you cry because they're gone. Like yeah. this thing he feared for so long, he had developed a relationship later with the dog, and then was really sad when it died. So it's an interesting thing, but yeah, Danny's praying in the shower in Spanish.
Oh, I love this line where Ted comes in and he's like, hey, you can use soap to get the, I don't know if you can use soap to get the eternal rest out of the hard to reach places.
Yeah. And so like, he picks up the soap, he's fully clothed. So he's like picking up the soap and like using it on his on his clothing, which is kind of hilarious.
I just wrote down football is no longer life.
Well, right, there is a discussion about that later, but they go into the locker room. They're like, hey, you know, Danny's kind of having like a thing in the shower. So let's not use the showers, you know, today. And Sam's like, well, some of us prefer to take long baths.
But we know it's not Nathan because he's afraid of aging. But yeah. But there's a new Dutch player who's just kind of making random offhand yeah. comments, and they're just all like, well, he's Dutch. And then they're just like, yeah. And then they just kind of move on.
It's like he's got Asperger's or Tourette's or something. He just like says anything that comes into his head, like, and he's like super honest. It's like, yeah, well, you know, he's just going to be terrible forever now or something like that. It's like, geez, yeah. dude.
And then yeah. Ted and Coach Beard are talking about, well, if a team was playing poorly, we would call them what? The New York Jets.
Yeah. And nobody
knows. Talking about like them having consecutive ties and stuff like that. And just
right. And the
not
other
being
team
able to break
sent,
that.
The other team sends them Thai food.
Yeah. And then I love Nathan being like, oh, I get it now.
Yes. Because at first, like, oh, I love Thai food. Oh.
Yeah. And then I wrote down cute Star Wars moment. I forget what that was or what that means.
Yeah, Higgins, like, so they cut to, I think Higgins is in Rebecca's office. And, like, he's carrying something out. And Ted just, as an aside, is like, oh, may the force be with you. And he's like, and also with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, that was cute.
We are there.
Rebecca is on a dating site and she's been texting back and forth with this guy John, I guess I think his name is, and she's convinced Keely to have Roy join them on a double date.
Yeah,
coming up.
And she's then, like, oh, yeah, Roy's fit sure, and you can tell that she's a little bit worried and preoccupied about Roy. So you cut to Roy at this and Roy is yelling and cursing at his niece's soccer team, and it is just adorable. I mean, it sounds terrible, right? But it's
he
just
ends like, this like long rant with cursing with Monica's mom brought orange slices, don't eat the peels, you animals. I love that.
And then like the teacher who is like, I don't know, like the sponsor or something, goes over to Roy and is like, you can't call them little pricks.
Even if they are little pricks.
Even if they're like nine, yeah, they're nine-year-old girls, right?
Yeah, they are nine-year-old girls.
So, yeah, whatever. You can't call them little pricks. It's so funny. So Keely comes and picks them up, and she's like, who wants hot chocolate? And so they all go to get hot chocolate. And so it's Roy, Keely, and his niece sitting on a bench. And this is just adorable.
Her name's Phoebe, and I love it.
Right. What is Phoebe doing?
Basically, she's keeping track of every time that Roy curses in front of her, and she charges him $1 per curse, and she has gotten him up to 1,236 yeah. by the end of the conversation, at least. And yeah, at least. Phoebe apparently got a red card for elbowing a girl in the neck, and Roy is so proud. I love it so much. And also Roy still hangs out with the yoga moms, and but he's also been offered to be a sportscaster.
Right. So he's got an offer to be what they call a football pundit. And he goes on a rant. I tried to write down some of it because
I couldn't keep track. I really couldn't. I wanted to, but I couldn't.
Roy, as you know, is my spirit animal. And so, you know, his reaction to this is kind of like if somebody asked me to be like a trainer or something, like for like stuff. It's like, it's a shit job for shit people who look like a twat wearing some shit suit on the telly. I'd rather shit out my mouth than do that fucking shit.
I love it so much. And and Phoebe's just making that profit. Like, I love that she's making those bucks. She's a businesswoman and you have to appreciate it.
Right. And Keely had suggested this job as being a football pundit. Like, look, you know, they give you like some connection to the game and you know, you care about the game and whatever.
You miss it.
Right. You miss it. And one of the things that she says, and you, I'm going to say this up front, I have a feeling that part of my reaction to this season is going to be based on the fact that, you know, much like Roy, I recently retired from a career that I loved. And, you know, you have this identity crisis and he's clearly having a fucking identity crisis. And so what she says is to him is like, look, so you'd rather hang out with these old yoga women who have no idea who you are.
Or nine-year-olds,
right? Who also like have basically no idea who you are. And you had been telling me like most of the end of last season, and you still like have said repeatedly, you identify as this footballer, right?
And I think it's interesting because hanging out with the yoga moms took on a different meaning back then, because his whole life was football since like the age of 9. And he just wanted, I think he hung out with the yoga moms to keep himself like nice and like limber and stuff like that with yoga and for soccer and all that kind of stuff. But also he needed a group of people outside of football who didn't know who he was. He kind of wanted that. But now that he no longer is doing what he loves and what he was passionate about, and he's coaching the younger girls and stuff like that, he wants more people to take him seriously with who he is as a professional. And nobody's really doing that, but he also doesn't want to be censored, I think, by the sports network stuff, because
that's going to come up later, I think. But yeah, I do think that there's a huge element of who am I now, right? Mm-hmm. Or like, what am I going to be when I grow up, kind of thing. Because you know, he's got to reassess all of that, because especially for him, he's had a career-ending injury, so mm-hmm. he cannot do this thing that was his life since he was 9 years old. And mm-hmm. so it is a real identity crisis for him. And you, the way he's acting in this episode, at least, is I'm fine with it. Fuck you.
Denial.
He is majorly, but there is someone else who is in denial in this episode, and we're going to get to that soon.
Yeah. But now we go to Danny, who's having a nightmare about kicking the dog, but it's in his dream. The dog is animated. And blood just splatters all over his face. But the thing is, he wakes up and he screams, "Football is death." And then you see that he's in bed with two women. I love the implications of that. I'm assuming he just had a threesome, fell asleep, had a dream about an animated dog being kicked in the face and blood like spraying all over him. And he just gets up, and imagine you're in the bed and someone just wakes up yelling, "Football is death." And then just, okay. It's so funny. I love Danny.
Funny. I love so much. Danny.
He's such a sweetheart. He's so funny. And then we go back over to Ted and Rebecca. And I love that Ted still brings Rebecca biscuits. But yes. She was like, oh, I thought you were Keely. And he was just like, oh, so you can have more girl talk or whatever. And then she's just like, well, yeah. And then it's just like, well, maybe I can try. And then she's like, well, I guess, yeah, why the fuck not? And so she starts time it, and he's just like, isn't most of girl talk just like talking about stuff that you already know the answer to it, and so it's all redundant? And she's like, well, yeah, kind of. And it made me think, I'm just like, yeah, it kind of is.
Well, Well, right. And Rebecca can't, and he starts asking her, like, what is the actual problem? And she can't, and he's like, so basically you can't figure out what the problem is. So there's nothing for me to solve here, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I love the questions he asks about John, because he's just like, well, is he nice? Does he treat you well? He's like a dad or like a brother or something. And it's a really cute like moment of like what he values in a relationship, especially with someone he cares a lot about. I think right. That's a really cute moment.
Right. I thought that was adorable too. And I did think it was very telling about him. And it's also very telling about men in general. Like, you know, when you have guy friends and they're giving you advice on like relationship issues, it's like, well, is he nice to you? Okay, fine. You know, it's like,
well, then there you go. It's great.
I love it. There is nuance here.
But you get to see that later on.
Yes.
Which is great. With another guy, oddly enough.
Yes.
Which is even better. Yeah. Apparently during Girl Talk, Ted got his nails done.
That's part of the nuance. So he comes back out on the pitch and he's like, I was meeting with the boss and trying to decide which color was right for her dinner, you know, like tomorrow night or whatever.
So yeah. It's so cute.
It's adorable.
I love that he's like not shamed for it either. Like, I'm glad he's not like shamed for it at all, because I think that's something that a lot of guys are shamed for or whatever, and it's kind of stupid. Just do whatever you want. But like, it's just, I just love how he's just like, oh yeah, I got my nails done and we were trying to pick a color, and it's just like, okay, I guess we just need to do our jobs now. So all right.
Right. But what we see at this training session is that Danny cannot hit a goal to save his life. He can't hit anything
except for like the wrong thing.
Exactly. Like he kicks in like all the wrong directions. And
he
so
kicks the ball and it hits Ted.
Right. When he's trying to aim for like the goal or do like a corner kick or something, it's like, oh dude. And so
They talk about Magnolia and The Last Samurai and Tom Cruise having a ponytail in both.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is funny. It's like when Tom Cruise has a ponytail. You know, it's, and then they, I think Ted like tells the rest of the team, it's like, here you go doing midnight poutine, which is.
I wrote that down too. That's a really funny name for a
some
play.
Sort of like training exercise, which is hilarious. And then, so they, Danny cannot figure out what to do or how to handle it. And they go in the office, the coaching staff, they go in the office and they do not want to say the Y word,
which is the yips. And apparently the yips is when an athlete can't do the basic fundamentals of their sport, like kick the ball.
Right. Or like, you know, it happens in really pretty much any sport, but it can happen. Like you can get the yips in theater too. Like you get the yips.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't talk. Mean,
yeah. It's can't like, move. Well, I can't sing, or I can't hit the notes correctly, or, you know, whatever. There are a lot of situations where the term the yips applies.
And they're very interesting, and it's brought up later, but like, I think it's very interesting, the causes that the potential causes for the yips that there are, and it depends on what sport or activity you're doing, and yeah, it's interesting the causes of them, but I think that Danny has a pretty obvious cause about why.
Oh, sure, and a very functioning, a very reasonable one. But they're having this discussion, and Higgins is like, "What's the Y word?" And I think Nate says it's the yips, and they're all like, just kind of like, it's like saying Macbeth in a theater or Voldemort at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Like, no.
One thing about that joke, I kind of wish they said one more random one that just like has nothing to do with anything. I kind of wish they took the opportunity to be like, or cows in Nebraska or something. I don't know. That makes no sense. But still, I think that it would have been funny. Right. Or cousin in Alabama. It's just, there are tons of possibilities there. But yeah, Higgins wants to bring in a sports psychologist.
Right. And so they're kind of like, yeah, and it's very, very obvious that this is, having a psychologist president is something that Ted does not want. And he has serious issues about it. I mean, he doesn't want to say it. He doesn't have a rational explanation for it. So he kind of says like tangential things like, oh, that's a great idea. I mean, you can tell by his tone that he's uncomfortable with the idea.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then we go to the double date with where Roy is getting fed up with all the questions from
Murdoch. Oh, wait. No, what? You skipped something because they're still in that section. I may be wrong, but Ted's like shaking his head and saying, yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right, you're sure. Just kind of looking at him like he's crazy.
Yeah, but yes, then we cut to the double date, which is Roy, Keely, Rebecca, and the dude. Is it John?
John, I think, is his name.
I didn't even write down his name.
I think it's John.
Because
they talk about, Rebecca's just like, oh yeah, well, my date's really into football. And Roy's just like, well, who do you support? And he's like, well, whoever's winning. And he's just like, ugh.
And bring me more beer.
Well, no, I'll get to that joke because it's actually kind of funny because Keely mentions the whole pundit thing and he gets more encouragement from everybody of like, oh yeah, you should do it. You should totally do it. And he's just like, whatever. But every single waiter that passes by, Roy asks for a drink. And the last one, he's like, can I get two drinks?
Yeah.
So yeah, because if you think about it, if all of them do that, he's going to have like, four drinks.
Right.
Good for Roy.
The guy John is just this dickhead. He's like, and I think the way he responds, it's not just like the whoever's winning, it's like Man City, Manchester United, whoever's winning. I mean, he when you say you're a football fan, you actually should know something about the game, something about the teams, something about why you root for them, not just that they're winning, you know, those kinds of things. And Roy is just not having it. And then he like acts like he's a fan of Roy and he's like, oh, your retirement speech is like the only thing I've really liked on like the football telly in a while, or some kind of something like that,
the only email he opened or something, I don't know.
But yeah, like, I mean, like he's such a sycophant. It's like, ugh.
I think the thing with John is that he seems like a nice enough guy where he's like sharing stories and stuff, but this, he's just not an interesting person. That and you can tell that to a certain extent everybody's kind of putting on a show with him, which I mean is kind of part
he's
of
he's putting team. On a show.
Well, he definitely is, but like I think that
because he has no depth to him, I mean that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, anyway, then
we cut to
you go to Ted and he reveals why he doesn't really trust therapists. It's because of his experience in couples therapy. He kind of felt like, well, Michelle is his wife's name. Michelle had been going to the therapist for a while before then. And so when he came in, he felt like they were ganging up on him. And the whole psychoanalysis, I mean, it works for you or it doesn't. It really didn't work for Ted. And he just didn't feel like anyone was on his side. And like, he was the one who always had to change instead of it being a mutual thing, which I think is very valid. I think that it's another reason why their marriage didn't really pan out, because they always felt like one of them needed to change and the changes really weren't worth it to them. Well, at least one of them, but
if it's all one-sided, it's going to feel like, you know, I give and give and give, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what am I getting from this? And I think that was an element of that relationship. And again, Ted talks about, and this whole season is going to be in part about the value of counseling, psychiatry, mental health. Right, exactly. So,
but well, last season touched on it with like the panic attacks and stuff like that. But I think that it really does go in depth this season about the importance of maintaining a good balance of mental, physical, all that kind of health, and how damaging it can be when you don't take care of yourself.
Yeah. So Coach Beard then says to him, like, I'm going to quote you back to you, you know, like when I was, he was doing something.
He was dating a dancer.
Dating a dancer. And of course he subsequently dated numerous other dancers, but it's like,
I don't know if you're going to say the line that I think you're going to say, but he was like, you know what you said to me when I was dating that dancer. And then he's like, can I borrow your tap shoes when you're done? And that was the line I wanted to contribute. Go ahead.
Right. No, that was not what I was going to say. It's like all people are different people, right? So like more or less an it takes all kinds kind of attitude, like, or we have all kinds. But there are a lot of different kinds of people out there. They cut back to everybody leaving the dinner, the double date dinner. And, Rebecca asks, hey, so what do you think of John?
Yeah, and Keely's supportive. She's like, yeah, he's nice. And then what does
Roy care if you, you're at the same level, you're financially similar, blah, blah, blah. I mean, she's looking at it in kind of very objective terms.
Yeah, because it's, I think that it's, I loved seeing the two different ways to approach that kind of question, because you get the, okay, well, this is like, just, these are the facts. This is like how it looks, how it's
right. The analysis, the,
you guys are pretty on par with each other, that kind of stuff. You guys are pretty similar in that, like, you're at, in a similar place in life. So it should work out, but does it? And then you got Roy.
He's very direct
about like how he basically is just like, he's fine, but you deserve someone who makes you feel like lightning is struck. You deserve somebody who treats you like a fucking, the fucking queen you are. Like, you deserve way better than this, like, nothing. Like, you deserve better than this. You
he's yourself. Fine, but all he is fine, and all he's ever gonna be is fine.
Yeah.
And he does say that line about you need someone who makes you feel like you've been struck by fucking lightning. Mm-hmm. Don't settle, is what he's basically saying. It's like, and I love that, because, you know, first of all, he's acknowledging how great Rebecca is, much like he acknowledges how great Keely is. He's acknowledging how great she is, but also, like, it's not just about how somebody looks on paper, right? Yeah.
There's got to be more than that. But for John, there really isn't much underneath the surface.
Right. Right. And so the next morning, the psychologist comes in, the doctor.
Her name is Dr. Sharon Fieldstone.
Right. And we learn that as things go on. But she comes into the coaching office and like, she looks around and it's kind of like, you can tell she thinks, all of y'all are fucked up.
Yeah, she's already psychoanalyzing everybody in her head and being like, right. Okay, each psychological profile, it's like, all right, noted, noted, noted. All right, interesting. I'm going to think about how to handle each and every one of you. But right. She's very critical. You can see that, well, not critical, but like, you can tell that she's always analyzing something, and she's very like serious. And
she doesn't have much of a sense of humor about herself or others, no. Which, you know, I think, and this is kind of a tangent, but I think a lot of the sensibility that we're seeing in media and social media feeds into that. Like, you can't make fun of anything or anyone. And with that comes a lack of fun sometimes.
Well, I think that it's an interesting polarity with, or duality with that, because you either have the section where you can't make fun of anything because people will get offended by anything, by whatever. There's always something to be offended by. This random sentence I'm saying, you can probably get offended by, whether it's grammar or whatever I'm saying. You can always pick at something until it's left like with nothing. And then you have the other side where it's like, you should be able to make fun of anything. And you kind of should have a good balance there, but we just haven't reached it. Or at least some people have.
As a society, I would agree. Yeah. I mean, some people have.
And so you see those two, the duality in Ted, who makes fun of anything and everything, including himself. And he has a very kind of sense of humor about himself and situations, even like really dark situations, or not dark, but like serious situations, like his divorce or whatever. He tried to kind of laugh off a certain amount of that. But then you have the other side, which is the doctor, who takes everything very, very seriously. Not that she's offended by everything, but she does take certain things seriously because she has to take them at a certain kind of value and not just at face value, because that's her job.
Right. And I think that, you know, that whole aspect, that whole philosophy, all of it gets explored in this season as well. And that's kind of cool too, is to see like that, you know, she is not just the superficial, I have no fun person, right? Although she seems like that for quite some time. And they are not just like goofballs,
right,
either. So it's kind of fun to see those two concepts kind of come together and find common ground. And that's kind of like what this season's about, or at least that's the way I see it. So again, we're getting that all in the first episode, which is cool.
Also, I love their reactions to whenever she says the yips, them just being like,
eh. She's like, okay, you have issues with a word. Get over it. You know,
fear of a name only increases the fear of the thing itself.
Amen.
Anyway.
Or amen Dumbledore, as the case may be. There you go. So you can tell, like, at some point that she says this line, she's like, are you good at your job, to Ted? She asks him, are you good at your job? And he's like, I like to think so, sure. And she's like, as good as you think you are at your job, I am twice as good at mine.
I mean, that's some confidence right there. I mean,
it is, but you know, yeah, I want to throw in there too that the actress that they have playing this role is an African-American female, or an African female, I guess, because she seems to be British, which would make her not African-American, a person of African descent. And so I think there's also the recognition that the superficial has nothing to do with this.
Oh, she's also a very good actress.
She's fantastic for a reason.
Like half of this cast is like half of this cast was nominated because they're just amazing.
They are.
And she really does do a good show in this season, I think.
Right, and she does a great job being the person who needs to be taken seriously in what is very much a male-dominated environment. You know, this football team, and she. And she needs to know where the boundaries are, but they do too. And she sets those, you know, their expectations of her very early. And it was really kind of cool to watch. So that is fun.
Higgins is setting her up in his office. So she didn't have an office and she needed one because first of all, you need confidentiality. So it's not like you can just be anywhere. So Higgins is giving her his office. But also
that means he has no office, and that's going to be a theme too.
That's something in the next episode. But then Danny is brought in to talk to her, and she's you find out later she's multilingual,
fluently.
Yeah, really, really fluently. Like she speaks French and Spanish. You see her speak those. I think she speaks Dutch at some point. Maybe she meets a player. I don't know. She definitely speaks French and Spanish. But they're all intimidated, as they should be. But then you see Rebecca, who's at a cafe meeting
John.
And she's just looking at the different kinds of people in the cafe. Like you have the lovey-dovey couple, the couple that don't really pay attention to each other. And then you've got the person alone. And she realizes that she needs to be more open to vulnerability. And that's why she can't really feel like she has a connection with anybody. But she's not going to have that with John. And so they break up.
Right. And one of the things, again, she has a great speech with this, which, and you can see it, and it's brilliantly acted again.
She's
going through that whole process that you described just while sitting at a table. And again, that's very real, you know, like just thunderstruck. She's more articulate about it than most. But what she says is, you know, what comes out of her mouth is she realized, I need to be brave enough to let someone wonderful love me without fear of being hurt or being safe.
Mm-hmm.
And John's the safe guy.
Yeah.
And poor she God. Realizes what?
He'll find someone else.
Well, right. I mean, he will. He'll find somebody else who is fine. but she needs something bigger and better than what she's got. And he's like, you're breaking up with me? And she's like, I didn't mean to. But yeah.
You know. I guess so, sorry.
So they come back out and Danny has had his session with Dr. Sharon.
He's feeling good about himself, and he kicks a corner. He does a corner kick, and it actually lands in the goal, which was really cool. And then a lot of people, you see a lot of the players who are having sessions with the doctor because Ted's about to trying to go and visit the doctor before she's leaving and to say thank you and that kind of stuff. But he sees all the players coming in and
having sessions. And then you get a phone call between Keely and Roy, and you see Roy hanging out with the yoga moms watching a really trashy reality TV. I think it's Love, but Lust Conquers All or whatever it's called. It's supposed to be like a parody of Love Island, which is if you don't know, a British trashy reality TV. Not that you're trashy,
that. Watch, thank like, you.
A cringy reality TV show that is, I think, originated in England. And Jamie's on the reality TV show.
And right. And Roy's just smirking. Like, oh, yeah. He's
just smirking awful. With his rosé. And, like, then you hear all the moms be like, oh, my God, he's awesome. Oh, my God, I love Jamie. And then you got Roy being like, I need more rosé.
Exactly. Which is why I'm having rosé bubbles. There we go. Because, you know, Roy is my hero. But yeah, he's clearly, and again, this is so much facial work with him. Oh. Like, you see him go from, like, he's all confident, like, oh, everyone's gonna hate Jamie because he's such a dick, blah blah blah, you know, that's what he's got in his head. None of this is said. That's what he's got in his head. He's like almost overconfident, like, oh, everyone's gonna get to see what a dick he is. And then all of the yoga moms or the yoga old people are like, oh, I just love him. And he's getting this realization, like, not only do they not know who he is, they love this guy he can't stand.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, you know, like my identity's gone to shit because now I'm associating with people who love this antithesis of me.
Mm.
Well, and it's hard for him.
Yeah.
Well, I need more rosé.
That's the end of the episode.
It is the end of the episode. And I really, there were a number of things I liked about this. What was your best part?
Roy and Danny. I really loved Danny's arc in this episode because there is a moment that I have skipped over where he is talking to Ted because Ted's like, well, what'd she say to you? And he's just like, I realized that football is life, but also football is death, and football is football. But mostly football is life. And so I love that so much. He just has like, I love that he isn't like cured necessarily of the yips or whatever. He is in a way, but like, it's always going to be there. But the thing with mental health, it's not just going to go away. It's always going to be there, but he's able to control it now because he has a better understanding of what these things mean and mean to him. And so he's able to find some inner peace and be able to just do what he does best, and that's kick that damn ball. And so he does that, and I love that. And then Roy, I just love everything about Roy in this episode. He's just fucking fantastic because he's speaking the truth to everybody who can hear it, because he speaks the truth to the 9-year-old girls. And then he has the moment with his niece and Keely, and then you've got the moment with the yoga moms, which I love. I love that he's just with the yoga moms. It's just, I loved that concept in like season one that when they mentioned it, but like, I love it in practice too. It's fantastic. I love that we get to see it. And
well, right. And again, you know, that's something that's going to develop. And you know, he is like, that was his space to be vulnerable and be himself and not be Roy Kent, the footballer. Mm-hmm. And now he's missing that. Yes, I've got to be Roy Kent, the footballer, somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. And so, because that's been 90% of my life or more.
Yeah.
So that is something he's really struggling with. But my best part is this juxtaposition of Rebecca realizing her value and what she deserves, juxtaposed with Roy not knowing what he deserves, and you're like, oh my God, I've got to get drunk because I don't know where I fit in this world anymore. So like, she spent last season trying to figure out where she fit in the world. She was having that crisis. Roy's having it now. Mm-hmm. And again, these are two amazing actors, and you get to have that journey with both of them. And it's really very, very cool because, you know, again, both of them are people I can identify with because on some level, I'm kind of a dickhead too. So I get it, or bitchy or whatever, fill in the blank. But I get that's a very human thing to go through a crisis like that, an identity crisis like that, and try to figure out where I come out on the other end. And you need people that you trust to tell you something like, you deserve that feeling of being struck by lightning.
And I think it's interesting because you get to see both of them having existential crises about themselves because of different situations. Rebecca's trying to figure herself out of her marriage with Rupert, which I feel like could have been, was a little bit, it was explored a bit in the last season, but she's really trying to figure herself out now in different relationships.
She's trying to be better. She's trying to be a better person.
Well, to also know what she deserves in a relationship. It's a give and take. And I feel like she now understands like what she should be able to take, or what she's like deserve, what she deserves like in a relationship, because she had a pretty shitty one with Rupert, and where it was mostly give and less take. So then you have Roy, who is just, his career is, he's retired. So he's trying to find himself outside of his career, but he's having a difficult time. And you get to see those different kind of resolutions to those kind of crises throughout this, or the journey anyway, not necessarily the resolution, but it's a journey. And you get to see those in this
season. Right. And I think part of what I like is that this series doesn't act like you snap your fingers and things are over. And I like that about that. But both of them, when you talk about these identity crises, they are, I had a thought in my head and I've lost part of it. So, but they deal with just this sense of, yes, it's a journey. And yes, I need to identify who I am. But it's also just, you need other people to help you, because you had other people define you to begin with. That was part of your identity. But, you know, like part of Rebecca's identity was Rupert, defined her Rupert. And he had a lot of lines that he created for her. And for Roy too. I mean, he had like the role as this great footballer and as the team leader and as all of these things, and they're all gone. Mm-hmm. And you have to reconstruct them for yourself. And which ones do you keep? Which ones do you throw away? What should I be looking for? And you need advice. You need people who give you really honest feedback.
Yeah.
And that is a huge, huge thing. And I love that about this show. And it does it with Ted too, obviously, in the crisis of his divorce and everything else. You get to see that with Ted. I think it is more flamboyantly, obviously, I guess, with Rebecca and with Roy, but you see it with Ted too, and he's the heart of the show. So we get to see some of that as season two proceeds. What was your worst part?
It's an interesting one for me, because I put down Rebecca's love life stuff. The reason why is because we focused a lot on her love life in the last season. And I feel like she should have had a time where it's just, she's focusing on rebuilding herself. And I think that's kind of the realization she comes to in this episode, where she needs to kind of work on herself before she can be open and vulnerable again. But spoiler for the next episode, she just goes into a different dating site. But like, I think that it would have been an interesting arc for her to just see how she is divorced from the divorce, and just see how she is as a person on her own, see how that works out for her, because she can do it on her own. She can. She's proven that outside of the divorce, she was able to do a lot of stuff with Richmond. There's been a time jump. She's been doing stuff since then. Well, she's been seeing John in kind of the interim, but like still, I think that it kind of forces this character into a cycle of, okay, well, she's going to be defined by a relationship, which I feel like it's not necessarily true in this case, because there are more dimensions to her, but I see a lot of that in television with female characters, and heck, even male characters occasionally. It's just like they don't usually have interesting storylines outside of their relationship with another character. So I think that it would have been an interesting thing with her being single for a little bit longer instead of her constantly be on dating sites. I think that maybe the second half of the season could have been more about that, but I think this first part this is fine. Like, her realizing all this stuff about herself is fine. I think that that's well done. But I think that going forward, I feel like they should have taken a little bit more of a break with relationship stuff with her and have her do more of her own thing. And I don't know. I feel like it just, it gets her stuck in a loop where it's just like, she feels the need to always be in a relationship. And as a person who's never been in a relationship, you don't have to, but I mean, that doesn't say anything about me or anything, but like, it's just, I guess it does. Regardless, I think that it's an interesting, I feel like it would have been a more interesting dynamic to see her outside of a relationship and less focused on a relationship. I've been saying relationship a lot, but you know what I mean? It's like, she was focused so much on her divorce with Rupert last season, which sometimes was even the worst part of some of the episodes because it was so focused on that for the entire season. And then you've got this season where you can have, you have all these opportunities to do with Rebecca, with whatever you wanted to do. But they kind of still felt the need to put her in a relationship, which I feel like is not necessarily a disservice to the character, but I feel like she could have been doing something different for this first half and then maybe evolve into something else, because I think she just needs to work on herself. And I think that would have been a good message to send out to other people before, like, you get in a relationship, maybe you need to figure yourself out. I don't know. That's my rant. I don't know.
Okay. And you know, I don't disagree with anything that you said, because of course, you know, I'm being more of an introverted person anyway. I am someone who would not rush into another relationship generally. In my dating career, such as it was many, many years ago. At the same time, I've known a lot of people that are much more extroverted than I am, number one, and number two, much more likely to define themselves by the relationships that they're in. And those two things don't necessarily go together. I mean, you know, I agree that there is a path of, you kind of live with yourself, learn yourself a little bit on your own after a massive breakup. And any dissolution of a marriage is going to be, or should be, a massive breakup. But we get to see that. And again, we're not talking about Ted, right? Because Ted's going through exactly what Rebecca went through, this dissolution, but he has a child as well. And we're going to explore that as the season goes on. But being a more, not necessarily introverted, but introspective person, and I hate that that's in the background, so I'm going to. But I think that a lot of what this series explores, and part of the reason I like it so much, is it does, you know, different people are different, right?
Yeah.
So you have this broad range of people's experiences and the focuses on them. And some of them are going to be quieter than others. Some of them are going to be louder than others. And you know, it's going to be a little bit louder with someone like Rebecca or Roy, or than it is going to be with someone like Ted or Nate. But you're going to see all of it. So yeah,
I think that, and I think it is a good idea, because both Ted and Rebecca are divorced at this point, and you get to see how they handle it differently. Rebecca has been divorced for a little bit longer than Ted has, but I think that, and it's interesting to see, because Ted is the one who's taking a lot more time to, he's not rushing into anything else. He really isn't. I feel like he's still in denial, and that is explored later on. But I think that just for the sake of building a little bit more development for Rebecca, I think that it is a good idea to get her, like, have a relationship a little bit later on in the season. But after this revelation that she's had, I feel like this is a perfect opportunity for her to just take a break from relationships for a minute and not have her focus be only on that. Because I don't know, man. I really don't know. I want something else.
I feel like Rebecca can do whatever she wants. The writers could do a lot more different things with Rebecca. And what they do with Rebecca this season is interesting. But I think that it just I feel like she just needed to break at least two episodes break of like outside of a relationship or apps or anything. I don't want her to feel like she's being defined. And I understand the reasoning for it. I understand what you're talking about. That's just my personal opinion.
I don't disagree with you. I think that on some level, Rebecca is someone who needs to be told that that's okay. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that is something that she, at this point in her character arc, does not know about herself yet. Much like she doesn't know that she deserves someone amazing.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's my worst part. You can move on to your worst part now.
My worst part is just John, the love interest, because he sucks. He's just blind. I cannot remember this guy's actual name, but I had a date in college.
Maybe it's just that you forget his name.
Right, in college, but that we referred to as Vanilla Man.
Oh.
Because, you know, he was fine. He was fine.
See, the more we make fun of people who are like that, the worse I feel, because I feel like maybe I'm one of those people.
You're not one of those.
It concerns me that I am.
You're not one of those people, but part of
maybe not to you.
No, but you need to share what you're doing here with others. Does that make sense? Because people don't necessarily know you. I'm putting that out there.
Thank you, Mother. I just
anyway, how would you rate this episode?
I gave it a B. I think the thing is, there were a lot of things I like, for example, Danny and Roy's stories. I like, we're just getting to started with Ted and the doctor and all that stuff. And I like the beginning of that as well. And that you've established how Ted feels about the whole doctor stuff. But I think it really is Rebecca's storyline that holds me back. And I feel like that's going to be a trend for me this season, unfortunately. But I think, yeah, I think that's the big thing that's holding me back. And another thing is that this episode was fun. I just don't think it had a lot of the same humor that I had grown accustomed to from season one. It had some, like the Tom Cruise like jokes and stuff are cute and stuff like that. That's kind of the stuff I'm used to. But there used to be other jokes that kind of hit harder. And I think they're trying to strike a balance between serious and humorous this season that's a little more heavy-handed on the serious and a little bit less on the humor, because they want to take it seriously, which is fair because it is a serious topic. But I think that is something that I am missing so far, some of the humor that could have been found in certain places, that extra layer of humor I kind of miss. I don't know, I give it a B.
I gave it an A minus. And oh. I gave it an A minus because as a season setup episode, I think it sets up the arcs that we expect to see, mm-hmm. right? And that probably the one with the most humor is going to be Roy, because no, definitely. Roy's fucking awesome. He's here, he's there, he's every fucking where Roy can't. I really liked that juxtaposition of Rebecca and Roy. And again, that's an age thing that might not be as meaningful to you, but you know, being on the other end of, and I've not obviously, thank God, ever had a marriage split up, but yeah, I've been on the bad end of breakups, right? I can see where Rebecca is. I did not have her response to it, but I know people who have. So I have more sympathy to that than you do. But I
have
also
sympathy. I just don't necessarily have empathy. Like I don't. That makes me sound like a psychopath. But you know what I mean. It just
not there.
I do understand. Okay. I can feel bad for this situation, but again, I do agree. I don't have the same life amount of life experience, and the same kind of life experience. It's just different. And I have not retired. I have not broken up with anybody. Well, no, I have not broken up with anybody. So it's kind of like, and I also would probably handle it a little bit differently, but we'll, I don't know. We don't know. jury's still out on that one, but still, I think that is a valid point that we both have different experiences. So this is going to be an interesting season to talk about because it
really is, because again, it's a rather mature season, even mm-hmm. though it's a sophomore season. I will say this, and you know, it's a preview. My expectation is there's going to be more controversy between the two of us for this season.
I think so too, just based off this episode alone.
Right. But I also think that the seriousness with which it takes itself may affect our ratings of it too.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because you go into it from the first season expecting
the humor. More.
Yeah. And there's humor here. There definitely is. But there, you know, because you became attached to the characters in a very specific way, the change is going to result in different reactions. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see us going through this series. I'm excited. And that actually is, that part of it is going to be fun. I'm sitting here with my cat, so, you know, it's a thing. Anyway, we are going to go on to episode 2 very, very soon. But in the meantime, join us and
cheers.
Cheers.